Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sorry, my phone was blocking my mic button because I have Arsenal Liverpool on my phone on Peacock. I really need to follow that while we're working. I really need to have
it's
that.
Important. Yeah.
It's so important. Did you hear that little noise I made about 10 seconds ago?
Ooh. Yes. What was that?
It's because I remembered the line was today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's good to remember things.
Well, it's good to remember things, and it's good to know what you're supposed to do for work.
Right, yes.
But really, I was just excited that there was a line segment. Right. Are we still doing that? Has anybody said anything? Are we doing it forever?
Nobody has said anything.
Is it still football season?
I think so.
It is?
I don't know. I haven't had a FanDuel spot since I got back from vacation.
Maybe there's no line,
so
though.
I'd
miss it.
I feel like we would have been notified if the line had. Well,
really? No.
No, that's no. Let me reel that back
no.
in. Whatever.
No one knows if the line is still
be
a
fine.
Feature.
We should just.
No one
we'll
even
just,
knows.
Just do it.
I'm excited to have it, so I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
If it's not sponsored, then I'll do it without the sponsor. Like, it'll be brought to you by the Woodhouse or something. Take liberties. Mike McDaniel out in Miami. So the coaching casualties in the AFC East in the Sean McDermott era, if you will, are piling up. The Dolphins will have a fourth coach during the McDermott tenure, assuming McDermott is still here.
Presumably, yeah, right.
The Patriots are on their third. The Jets are on their fifth. So the next Dolphins coach would make it 12. If McDermott returns, which is likely, I think, to be even maybe a little safe about it. Which coach has appeared twice on the list?
Oh. Rex Ryan. No, Rex Ryan was here.
Not Rex Ryan.
Sorry, that was a terrible guess. The parameters were clear. I rushed to the first name that I thought of that coached two of the teams in the division. I ran in blindly into the building and didn't even realize what I was looking for when I got there. Let's see. Who?
It's forgivable.
Yeah, not really. It was a terrible job. Twice.
Yes. If he gets New England someday, he'll have all three. I'll help you. Adam Gase. Adam Gase was the coach of the Dolphins.
Oh, wow,
when
yeah. Right?
McDermott arrived. Then he was the coach of the Jets after that. Todd Bowles was the coach of the Jets when McDermott
was
signed on here.
Was the Dolphin thing, like, did he take over in season for somebody?
3 years.
Wow.
And then,
I don't remember that at all. I feel like, you know what it is? Because the New York introduction with the news conference was so kind of out there that I feel like that had to be the first time he'd had a head coaching job. So I just completely black out the fact that he was in Miami and would have coached against the Bills 6 times.
One more good, perhaps, Miami trivia question
sure.
from the same season. You were off when this came up last week,
okay.
And it was Sal. The day the Bills break the drought,
mm-hmm.
they beat Miami.
You're right.
Who's the starting quarterback?
For Miami?
Yes. He was replaced immediately in the game for whatever reason.
Oh. Yeah, no, I know that. I'm going to know the name. I'm not going to. It's not going to pop up. I don't think in my brain here.
The backup's name who plays almost the entire game is David Fales.
Okay.
The season-long starter is Jay Cutler.
Right.
So the 17 Dolphins, you've completely erased from your memory.
Yeah.
It's the Jay Cutler, Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Time.
Well, that's you know,
not
that's
really an era.
That's, you know, the drought ended, so it's like a post-drought life here, and I'm forgetting everything that happened in the drought.
Might be healthy.
Not entirely, but I obviously have completely forgotten that. I do remember that Jay Cutler played for the Dolphins, and I absolutely remember that there was a somewhat established starting quarterback in that game. You know, we went into that game knowing they were going to need help, but still, you know, go win your game and hope for the best, right, between the Bengals and the Ravens. And I remember being like, you know, Cutler leaving that game going, all right. I mean, not that he was killing it or anything. I mean, did he ever play again after that, or was that the end of the line for
that
him?
That was the last game of his career.
Right. So still, though, you know, he'd had some days in the league and was a pretty good player for a while. So him leaving that game, like, okay, I think we got this.
I got one more for you. If you can stand it, I've got one more for you. Miami.
I'm already on tilt.
You are.
After the Rex Ryan blast.
The last decade of the Dolphins, I liked McDaniel. I'm
so did
sympathetic. I think he's good. I think somebody's going to be lucky to have him. The last game the Bills played, Rex Ryan is here in 16 too. All right, the Dolphins coach for the second of the two meetings with the Bills in 15. They had two different coaches that year for the two Bills meetings. The Bills won both games.
Was one of them Sperano?
No. R.I.P. No. Yeah. One of them is Joe Philbin.
Okay. I can see him.
The other was the Dolphins coach when they traveled to Buffalo November 8th, 2015, a game the Bills would win 33-17. What's the most memorable thing from this game? Carlos Williams busted a run. He had two touchdowns.
All right.
Who's the Dolphins coach? Still in the league.
As a head coach?
Yes. Take a sip of coffee, then time's up. Hello, Twitch.
Still in the league. Yeah, and come on, I need a moment with this.
All right. You know it out there? Do you know it out there? You might know it.
No. Okay. I'm through the AFC. I'm rummaging through here. I'm trying to I want to get something right. I'm sorry to be boring our audience like
while
this.
You're perusing the teams in the NFL, the 5 years went by before he got another chance.
Campbell.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah, he had a stint with the Dolphins.
There it is.
That's right.
All right,
and
you're back.
See the Lions. All right,
you're so back.
Yeah.
Zach Taylor was on that staff.
Zach Taylor. When did the Bills play the Bengals next year? I'm trying to remember what their
no.
That's right? Too bad because I'm
Baltimore is the AFC North opponent next year.
I'm ready to go on hating him. You know, for whenever it comes up.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
The thing with being mad about they stopped the game for Myles Garrett. Did you see this? I was away. I was here. They lost to the Browns, and in his post-game news conference, Zach Taylor complained about all the hoopla around Myles Garrett getting the record-breaking sack and how they stopped the game, and he used phrasing something like, "We're out here fighting for our lives."
Okay. That's bad.
I mean,
you're not.
Dude, you're the Bengals. You're eliminated. You're playing the Browns. And, like, just stop already.
I don't care if you're even, like, Jacksonville.
Right.
You're not fighting for your lives.
Just
sorry, buddy.
Was really just out of line.
Do you know the Jacksonville? So they flushed their staff after last season or even during, and the GM eventually goes when they want Liam Cohen, and then he apparently
doesn't
withdraws
want Trent Baalke, right,
from consideration because of who the GM is. They fire the GM so that they can approach Liam Cohen again. Presh Taylor was their offensive coordinator. That's Zach Taylor's brother. The last 3 years before this year was a Presh Taylor operation in the Jacksonville offense. Well,
I was glad to be reminded of all that earlier this week. I'm not sure who brought it to our attention. If it was maybe our guest yesterday on the Jaguars is the one who made the point. Because that got pretty – there was a point in time where did the Buccaneers maybe social media welcome Liam Cohen back as the coordinator? Like, there was, I think Tampa for a while thought they were keeping their guy as a coordinator, and then suddenly he was, you know, the plane turned around and he went back to Miami and, or back to
something
Jacksonville
like that.
Ended up taking the job, but yeah.
Well, it's 11. So, New England, Belichick, Mayo, Vrabel, Miami, Gase. Bowles?
Bowles?
No, Flores.
Flores, right.
Flores. Gase, Flores, McDaniel. Jets are Bowles, Gase, Sala, Jeff Ulbrich.
Oh, sure. Interim. That counts.
Aaron Glenn.
All right.
11 coaches. So I got a McDermott question today. This is my fifth show of the day. I'm exhausted. Yes, you know how it is. When
feel free to find. I'm just sitting around, so I mean, I don't know if people just don't like me. I'm not getting asked anything, so like, you know, funnel something my way if you're tired.
It wasn't. It's like five shows. What does that mean? You know, I just sort of
that's
how I talk to my wife.
Right.
Oh, I got five shows today. Yeah. What am I, Celine?
Yeah, because I don't feel like real good. I don't feel real good when I walk in the door after work and my wife is there and she says, "You barely were gone."
I know, right?
Like, she's gone for, like, 14 hours. She leaves the house to go to work. I mean, it's
real,
you know,
work.
It's like, she's gone. I'm, yeah, I'll see you later this afternoon.
Well, you know, to your point. Number one was Purple Insider. Matthew Collar and I drafted two fantasy teams for the playoffs.
Right.
One.
Yep.
Two is Filippone.
Oh, you did that today. Good.
I got one of his questions for you in a minute.
Okay.
Three was, actually, it was Goat District. I talked to my friend JD up there about, like, different plans. You know, it wasn't for broadcast, so that doesn't really count. Four was Kansas City.
Right.
And I rattled these off to my wife. She's like, Kansas City? I'm like, yeah, they're bored.
Right.
I've never been on that show when it wasn't either the summer or there
Bills
was a game.
Chiefs are playing, right.
Yeah. And I got the McDermott question from them, Cody and Alex. And what's funny is, so I was on my way here. And I pulled over. I think I'd recommend doing that. Like, driving, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I pull over for these interviews.
If you're really concentrating and want... I agree. Like, talking to my wife about, like, what to pick up at the grocery store, I can accomplish that while I'm holding the steering wheel.
So I pull over, and I signal. And at the end of the interview, like 20 minutes later, Alex Gold is like, I got to ask you, because people are texting... Have you just been at the longest light of your life waiting to turn? Like, oh, no, because halfway through
You had the blinker on the whole time.
I had the blinker. Halfway through it, I turned it off, recognized, like, they might hear that.
I always said, I don't know if I've ever even said it on the air, maybe one time. The number of times you can hear people's turn signals clicking. The phones are so good now. They pick everything up.
Right. So I said, sorry about that. I'm not at a light. I pulled over next to a cemetery. And Cody said, well, that seems appropriate.
Oh, wow. Hey, now.
You know, that's funny. But
and did you shoot back with, what was your record?
No, I don't. I'm not the type anyway, but right. I don't feel like I have any status in an argument about with Chiefs
you
people.
You can't really trash talk Chiefs people.
Can you do? Are people doing that right now? Is that what online is right now? Is it Bills fans sort of punching the Chiefs while they're down
maybe,
because they're not in the playoffs?
Maybe the Ravens, too. Even though the Ravens aren't outranking you, but like, there's always been this, you know, this tension within the fan base. More Baltimore than Kansas City, I feel like, even.
Okay.
But whatever. Because of Lamar and Josh.
Right? I'm glad to be blind to it, but...
Yeah.
But you can't... What kind of standing do you have?
Yeah, no, you can't...
Sort of trash-talking the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's not my style anyway.
You just, yeah, I know. But even if it were, like, because I can play that way if you want to play that way, right? I'm not really that guy either, but I can fall into it. But that's not a position where I would feel confident throwing a punch.
No.
Sort of be like, yeah, okay, scoreboard.
So Andrew asked me, it's a FanDuel radio.
I'm familiar.
There's FanDuel TV. It was on here yesterday. It was horse racing all day. In the newsroom.
Not just horse racing, harness racing.
Better. In the newsroom, they had FanDuel harness racing on. A DK horse.
I was going to mention that to you. I didn't know if you noticed or not.
Yes. And then it was poker.
I never saw
after
the poker.
Like, right. Are we 247 out there? No? One of the TVs is on horse harness racing and poker?
Yeah, I don't know.
I respect it. So he put to me five Bills who are posted receiving yards props at FanDuel. And he said, which one of these, if any, do you like? And I could get the numbers. I don't remember the numbers, but Shakir was something like 44.5.
They're going to be modest, yeah, for sure.
Kincaid was maybe 38.5. Knox was something like 19.5. James Cook was the next one at, say, maybe the same, like 19.5. And then I think also it was 19.5 Cooks. And I said, well, I think I like the tight ends the most here.
So that's what I was going to say. The two, I might like both of them to go over those numbers.
But Andrew's like, didn't Brandon Cooks just go over 100 yards against the Eagles? And he did, like 4 for 102 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they rested him for the Jet game. And that's sort of the new, for me, funniest state of affairs with the Bills receiving core is that like Brandon Cooks needs to be preserved. So 19.5, and Andrew's kind of like, isn't that one play? But what do you think of that number being so low? Is it weirdly low, or is it just sort of obvious? What is it for you? 19.5. Brandon Cooks, is he our number two?
I would be reluctant to do it. I mean, if they complete a pass to him, he'll go over. Like I could easily see him catching a 30-yard pass. Maybe only one. But the thing is, I feel like those – they're going to try that. They might even try that. This could be a game where all the time, oh, their run defense, our run offense, oh, we're going to come out and bully you. I could see them doing what they did in Atlanta on Sunday, if you remember what they did in Atlanta, which was put the big people on the field and only send a couple of people out, one of them being Palmer, deep, and they hit it. And I could see them
doing... He got hurt on the play.
No, he got hurt later. He had another, like, 16-yard catch after that, and he got hurt on that one.
Sorry.
But... I could see them wanting to do that. It's just if they don't hit it, they might try it one more time. And if they don't hit that, then that's it for Brandon Cooks. You know what I mean? It's like there's going to be volume there. It's like they're going to keep trying that, I don't think. But I think they will try him down the field, maybe even early, to see if they can catch Jacksonville, you know, not expecting it. I mean, I've even thought this through to the extent that if I'm Jacksonville, I'm reminding my defense my in meetings about this Atlanta example I just made and being aware of, listen, if they come out with the three tight ends and the fullback and like Brandon Cooks, just don't assume that they're just going to try to snowplow us. They might try to go over the top of us. So they'll try shots to Cooks. I think they rested him with a purpose. They feel like he's going to matter to them. I just don't know that, you know, they got to hit it and it won't be, they won't try it six times. You know,
that nothing is going to faze Jacksonville's defense. Yeah, I think the Bills could do all right straight up. But is there any chance after all this conversation, wouldn't it be hilarious if like Brandon Cooks or whoever else you want for this is just like, I mean, 10 for something and something, right. Just like a huge game.
Right.
There is just almost, I mean, all these interviews I'm doing in our shows, like I just can't see a path to it. Shakir has had games. He's had 100-yard games. He's had games where he, you know, he's north of six catches. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's done it. And maybe it's always like a breakaway run or yards after the catch or right. Something where you get that, like it's 7 for 100 and something like
and
that.
And there's a 55-yarder in there. Yeah.
But it's really hard for me to, I'm not predicting it. And I don't know that Jacksonville has to have that conversation, right? Like, I think they'll know what they're getting. I think Allen running is the thing that you don't have to be well prepared for because you really might not know that until you get it, like what you do with that. But these receivers, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the special – you have to go to a special class to prepare for this offense.
Well, the thing about the example I'm making, though, is if your safeties see that, you know, just on a very – entry level standpoint, the big people are out there. Here's Cook. This is the best running team in the league. Just don't assume they're running on this play. Don't come downhill because if Brandon Cooks is out there, they may try to hit you over the top. That's all. That is not deep thinking. I mean, I already said it. Like you got to tell, you know, remind them, but it shouldn't be hard to defend. You know, and if they do run it and they hit a crease, well, you know, at least your safeties are back there, and maybe it's 20 yards instead of a house call or something like that.
Bills over 300 net passing yards in a game this year twice. Week one, the comeback, and that wasn't like they were shut down before the comeback against the Ravens, but they piled a lot of that up.
251 yards in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Passing?
Yes.
Well, there it is.
Allen went for 251 in the fourth quarter of that game.
I take it back.
That is a number I will not forget.
The only other game this year where they went over 300 net passing yards was Tampa. 317. 95 in Cleveland. Well, we will see. We're a day closer. Bills and Jaguars Sunday at 1. Bills favored by 1.5 at last look. We will talk about the lines. Wild card weekend, probably not the Sabres, but yes to the college playoff game tonight with Joe Ostrowski from Chicken Dinner coming up at 3:30. Longtime Odyssey sports betting analyst. We have the line today, as has been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss that. And Sal will join us at 5, latest on injuries and more. Pre-game for Sabres-Rangers coming up at 6. Paul Hamilton joins us then.
From New York City.
Oh, great. That's where the game is.
Colton Ellis expected to get the starting goal.
Okay. Sure.
It's his turn.
Oh, it's Fred's turn. All right, so that's coming up as we go through the day. We will look for your calls as we go. Next hour is wide open. 803-0550 is the number. Mike McDaniel out in Miami. The hockey game tonight and a lot in between on the Bills-Jaguars matchup.
When you said you like him, somebody's going to get right, you know, strike gold here. Hiring McDaniel, do you mean as a head coach or you mean as an OC?
I don't know. I mean, I think he did pretty well as the head coach of the Dolphins in 4 years. They weren't winning anything. They haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. He got there twice. It's in the Bills division. They couldn't beat the Bills. They couldn't beat the top teams. That was kind of their brand. But I think he's excellent as an offensive coach.
Me too. I would hire him in a second if I had a need for an offensive coordinator. And I don't know that he won't ever get another shot as a head coach. I just doubt he waltzes into one off of this game.
Yeah, I guess I'd agree with that. But somebody probably will be lucky to have him next year.
I'm inclined to agree with
that. If he wants to work, he'll work.
I just wanted to clarify about head coach versus coordinator. That's all.
But I know it's not that different to me.
It had its moments, but last year happened. I mean, that was borderline insurrection on his watch.
Well, he recovered, and this year started terribly, and they fired the GM, and everybody seemed to expect he would be fired immediately, or just like this was not salvageable. Then it looked like he was staying until John Harbaugh got fired, and maybe that's what this meant. But now we've got 8 vacancies, I think. Pretty good number. Joe Ostrowski next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
They've got a lot of weapons. When you just talk special teams, obviously their kicking game is elite. You know, the trades that they made with getting Jacoby Myers on the offensive side has definitely paid dividends, and you know, it looks like they've got the guys in the spots where they want them now. I think they're 7-1 since they picked them up, maybe. And then, you know, picking up the corner on the other side from Cleveland, good player as well, and he's fortified and kind of solidified that side of the ball for him in terms of the corner piece.
Sean McDermott, definitely knows who Jacoby Myers is. Another Jacoby Myers mention. I don't know. Maybe that means I wish I had him. Maybe it doesn't. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, joined on the Wester Hotline by venerable sports betting analyst Joe Ostrowski. He's known for his daring and often successful futures bets, also youth baseball. And Joe is the co-host of Chicken Dinner with Sam Paniatovich, who joins us on Fridays, of course. Joe, how's life?
Yeah. Already drama on the youth baseball front, but we will not discuss that. Less than days before our first practice, but who the hell cares? We finally made it, fellas. We're here. These next 5 days, starting tonight, are going to be awesome.
College football tonight.
That's right.
I'm guessing you don't mean Sabres Rangers. Sabres having won 11 of 12.
That's on TV too. It's on the screen.
Good job.
It'll be there.
All right.
I think
that
I
was not on. It was not in your intro. Nothing about hockey was mentioned in your.
I just said a lot of sports tonight. You went and ran with it.
Well, lay it out for us, Joe. I mean, tonight is the semifinals for starters.
Yeah, and the college football front. It's an odd situation. I don't know if you guys watched that Georgia-Ole Miss game last week with the holiday time and all that.
I did.
That was awesome. Chambliss, just the way he gets out of trouble. That's what I think this game is going to boil down to. The big strength for the Canes, and they showed it against Ohio State, is up front, that they dominate the trenches. And we were on Miami, both myself and Sam, but I was kind of kicking myself afterwards. I'm like, why didn't it hit me that Miami's winning this game? Because the big weakness going into that was the offensive line for the Buckeyes, and that's the big strength on the other side for the Canes. So are they going to be able to corral Chambliss? It just felt like miracle play after miracle play. One interesting angle with this one, with the Ole Miss, I mean, it's just such an odd situation. When you have a head coach leave, now you have the interim guy, and then the offensive mastermind that left came back after the fans were swearing at him as he's getting on the plane, and then they win a couple of playoff games. But those first two playoff games against opponents they saw in the regular season. So now it's going to be a little bit different against Miami. Ole Miss is fun. It's a great story. They're the long shot now. They're 6-1 for the title odds. Miami, the favorite. It's down to 3, so you are getting some, quote, smart money on the Ole Miss side, but I do like Miami to win and cover this game.
And they have the coaches that coached the Georgia game are there. The thing I didn't pay attention since that game ended, but during that game, the Ole Miss Georgia game, there was just a lot of talk about how a lot of that staff, there was a big LSU like recruiting weekend and hosting guys, and that they were going to be maybe compelled to be there, that Kiffin would want them to be there, but they still have most of that staff is in place at Ole Miss, right?
They do. Yes, they do. But it's also weird because if you talk, you hear the interim coach talk and he's asked about the offense, it's kind of like they're on different teams right now, right? It's very weird. I don't really know what's going on with the offense. I just hope they score a lot of points.
Right.
It's odd. But yeah, the Blue Bloods are out, guys. I don't know if this is going to be a good thing as far as excitement ratings, you know, in my world, the betting handle and all that. Does it feel like the same excitement? I think it's cool because we got into a rut where in college football it's the same teams year after year. I have to be honest, with it being game day, I don't know that there's the same buzz had in Ohio State, Bama, Georgia made it.
This is what happens in the Final Four.
Yeah.
We love our upsets. And then we get to the Final Four, and it's George Mason, and like, who?
Right.
So it's a little bit like that. I had Miami to win last week after talking to you, Joe. So
that's right.
Thank you for that. That was pretty good odds.
And tomorrow we get Oregon, Indiana.
Two states. Two of the states.
Any quick thoughts on that before we move on to Wild Card Weekend, Joe?
Yeah, I'll keep it shorter here. Sam will have a lot on this one tomorrow. It's his favorite play of the CFP with you guys here. But, yeah, you're going to have a Big Ten team. We saw this matchup during the season, and in that game it was a tie game, middle of the fourth quarter. And I think it's going to be a similar situation. Feels like it's gotten out of hand with Indiana. Like, they're talked about as they are unbeatable. They have no weakness, offense, defense, the coaching, discipline, all of that. I don't agree with that. I think Oregon can hang in this game. They can pull off the upset. I'm going to be on the Oregon side.
Pretty cool to get two of the, I don't know, the top two quarterbacks, maybe two, both top five picks at worst.
Top two?
Top two, maybe even, right? Yeah, that's pretty
top
hot.
Top two in odds. Yeah, Mendoza's the favorite to go to the Raiders, and the second favorite is Moore.
If he comes out, right? Yeah. That'll be the question for him. That's the Jets if he wants it. Yeah. It's a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad a question. Options. Yeah. Okay, so Bills-Jaguars, Joe. Bills favored by 1.5. I hope you saw this incredible Jacksonville stat about their history when the total is 49 or higher. They are 1-25, and their one was the first of these games in 1999. Yeah. They have lost 25 straight games where the total was 49 or higher, most of which were games they were underdogs in. They haven't been good very often. I'm not sure it means anything to this game, but it's an incredible stat. Bills minus 1.5 and 52.
Speaking to that total, the one thing that keeps popping up to me, with Liam Cohen being the guy, naturally a lot of people talk about the offense and Trevor Lawrence. We're in the midway point. People are having real conversations. Oh, he's got to move on from Trevor Lawrence. He's not the guy. He's going to handpick his own guy. And look at where we are right now with this 8-game winning streak and what they've done. Now, not the most challenging schedule, but to win 8 in a row in this league, still a tough thing to do, and a couple of impressive wins in there. Everything points to the Jacksonville defense for me. Early in the season, it felt like a lot of this was turnover-based, or that's what people were thinking. And then as the season played out in full, I think we can walk away and say, no, this is actually a legitimate defense. So that stout rushing defense, how do they do against Cook and Allen on the ground? That's where I come with this game. It's just everything points to what are they able to do. Now, if I'm going to oversimplify it, I look at Josh Allen, even though there have been some struggles on the road. It's a pick 'em. Am I going to go against the best quarterback in this playoff in a pick 'em scenario? No, I'm not, but I can't sit here and honestly tell you that I have the most confidence in the world. I think it's a pick 'em for a reason, and just the way the AFC is set up, I think it's unfortunate that this is the Bills' first opponent, because I see the winner of this game making a deep run.
That's how Bulldog feels. Best two teams.
Well, yeah. Ross Tucker said the same thing to us on Tuesday. And I was feeling like for weeks here, really after you mentioned, you know, not the hardest schedule, but they did a number on Denver before the holidays. And that was those 2 days after that were the last 2 days I worked until after New Year's. And that really put a scare in me, seeing them do that to Denver. So I was thinking all along, that's the team I least want to see, is Jacksonville. Because of a lot of the points you made, the run defense has been so good all year long. But I'm reminded as this week has gone on, I mean, it was nowhere near a pick'em last year when Denver came here. The Bills were huge favorites, and it turned out rightly so. But there was a lot of talk about Denver's defense overall and their run defense, and the Bills just chewed them up. So, you know, we'll see. You know, like maybe Jacksonville's had, undeniably, they've had an excellent run defense all year, but maybe they ain't seen this yet, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Am I going to pick the elite offense or, to this point, the elite defense? In this scenario, I'm gonna take the elite offense. That's just where I'm at. That's where it comes down to with this game. And plus, I can't, you know, be consoling Sam for the next few months.
Sam has so much money invested in Bills futures. You know, it's kind of been fun listening to you guys through the year, through the football season, and then talking to you. And there have been times when I'm tuning in to see, like, what your angle is on a Bills game. And you're often asking us how we feel about different games through the course of the season, survivor bets, whatever it is. And I think maybe I would say your shows have been more optimistic than ours about them. I mean, we're doing these road hits, you know, and it sort of feel like you're invited on shows to rep the Bills. And I go on and, like, I don't know. I don't really trust this that much. It's more of an Allen is the whole team than I think it's ever been. So, sure. I mean, if it's a... It reminds me of last year, Joe, when we would talk in the playoffs and, are you really going to, or is this 2 years ago or both? Are you really going to bet against Mahomes? Do you really want to do that? Are you sure? He's getting points. Are you sure? And this is a little bit the same with Allen. Are you sure you want Trevor Lawrence in the gunfight over Josh Allen? Are you sure about that? Think about it before you do anything.
Right. You know, you got to play this out. Like, we've talked about it as well. And it's funny, we were like an hour ago, we were talking to Westgate Superbooks, John Murray, about where the money's coming in. He's like, oh, it's all Jaguars bets. But that's early in the week. and that's usually sharper money. And then we talk to somebody else. They're like, oh, Bills are the public side. There's no doubt about it. The bookmakers I talk to, I think it's going to be very balanced where people stand on this game coming into it. But, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. There are two, it feels like, primo games. But and I'm sure you guys have discussed it this week. Well, it is a coin flip for a reason. If it goes the other way, is there going to be a ninth coach? Right? I mean, we talked about how it's set up without Mahomes, without Lamar, and what continues to happen. It feels like something big has to happen if they lose the first playoff game in this spot.
Well, Bulldog has said the same thing. I think maybe it's more the GM who's on the line if they lose than the coach, but I have no idea. I mean, it's the time of year where everybody's reporting and speculating, and I haven't heard a word about. With Mike Tomlin, it was every minute you would hear, like, oh, they better win. Yep. And even now, it's still possible. It sounds like it's still possible that there be a change.
Yeah,
that's double the tenure of McDermott, but so was Harbaugh, and that happened.
And around here, it's LaFleur.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. How about that?
That's because, like, at least you've got Jay Glazer on that. Right? Like, I feel like that's the... That's everyone, I think. Well, I don't speak for everyone, but like he carries a lot of weight, I think. And he included LaFleur in like a not sure column like last week on pregame shows. And I've not heard anyone other, it's just speculation about McDermott. It's really just adding up, you know, looking at the ledger and just adding it up. He's been there a long time. They've not gotten over the hump. There's all this pressure that's largely being created from outside about how they have to get there this time because of no Mahomes and Jackson, but I don't think there's a sniff of it around the Bills. I think it's just all circumstantial. But if at least LaFleur, you've got Jay Glazer sort of saying, like, there's maybe some question there, and I would respect that more than just throwing darts about McDermott myself.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Yep, seems right. Joe, Packers-Bears, it's pretty hot.
Yeah. They just played twice in December.
Yep.
Now we get a third time in a very short period of time. And if you look at how those games played out, well, the one in Lambeau Field, week 14, it came down to the very end. The Packers dominated the first half. Bears dominated the second half. Caleb Williams has a chance to tie the game. Maybe they go for two there. If they convert, throws a pick into the end zone, has not thrown many interceptions on the year. And then a couple weeks later in week 16, here in Chicago, a crazy finish. Bears are down by 10, 2 minutes to go, and they somehow win in overtime on a 46-yard pass to DJ Moore. There was a recovered onside kick. Just a wild finish. Guys, the last five times these two teams have played one-score games, it always seems to come down to the very end. And a lot of Bears fans are certainly surprised at how far they've come, being the two seed this season. Bears can't start slow again. It's been constant. Starting slow, having to recover. They keep covering the point spread in the second half. You know, Caleb Williams down. We've talked about it so many times in the final 2 minutes. And then he comes out on the right side. Well, the last couple of weeks, it has not worked out that way. Lose by a field goal to the Lions. Lose in a high-scoring affair to San Francisco on Sunday Night Football a couple weeks ago. But that's kind of what happens. What I find interesting, and you could bring this up with a few games, is you've got three quarterbacks making their debut in the postseason. Caleb May with New England and Bryce Young with Carolina. Historically, those quarterbacks don't do very well. But if you look more recent, and we wonder if it's the newer quarterback where they don't give in to the pressure, they're not as impacted by it, maybe something they've been dealing with their entire lives, they're about 500. In their first playoff game. So I wonder if it's a big deal. I don't think Caleb is going to be impacted. He's facing a defense that he just saw twice, and now you're facing him without Micah Parsons. The Packers getting healthier, Love first game off the concussion, Jacobs is good to go. It looks like Zach Tom, the right tackle, is going to be healthy. Green Bay is looking good. I think it's going to come down to the very end again. If you're forcing me to make a pick, I would say, all right, I think it's going to be Green Bay, but it's probably going to come down to the very last possession of the game. I do think it's higher scoring in the second half. We'll see if wind ends up being a factor. But on the Bears side of things, Loveland has really come on, guys. So props-wise, I'm looking at him. His number's 40 and a half.
Keep that in mind for our fantasy build tomorrow when we speak. Loveland will be interesting. Tight end's really interesting this year. Mm-hmm. You're like one guy per team, and we need one tight end. At least we can pick up to five if we want. But
okay.
Loveland is going to be popular. I wonder what Kincaid might be if he gets mm-hmm. the clean bill of health. We will see. Joe, thanks for today. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy it.
Thanks, guys. Best of luck to you as well, and we'll talk next week.
Joe Ostrowski, Chicken Dinner with Sam Panayotovic. Check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. We have open lines here for a while until Sal joins us at 5. The Sabres are in New York to play the Rangers tonight. I've got the referee, the crew for Bills Jaguars. Awesome. When we come back.
I thought you were about to tell us who the officiating crew for the Sabres Rangers game was.
They don't have names anymore.
Andy Van Hellemond.
Refs, hockey refs don't have names anymore. They're all the same. They're all just nameless, numbered guys. Well, football doesn't have
actually,
their names on the back
they're
either.
They're robots, actually.
Yeah, it's all...
The aliens are already here.
No one knows any hockey refs. I'm saying it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Lines are open for you. This is WGR.